Hello and welcome to the Beacon Group's new meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Sharon and I am an alcoholic. In an effort to lessen distractions to others and to respect our speakers, you will not be able to unmute yourself during the meeting. Let's start this meeting with a moment of silence followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend. But we ask that only alcoholics participate. If you are new to AA or new to the Beacon Group, we strongly recommend home group membership and sponsorship.
You got muted, Sharon.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Where did I leave off? This is an open meeting. We got
yeah.
There. Okay. If you are new or not so new and looking for a sponsor, please put your name and number in the chat. If you have worked all 12 steps as outlined in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, have had a spiritual experience and are willing to sponsor, please put your name and number in the chat. The chat will remain open during the meeting, except while the speaker is sharing. Also in the chat, you will find our AA quote of the day. The quote source will always be from Alcoholics Anonymous literature. Our speaker will share for 30 minutes on the step of the day, and then we will split into breakout rooms for small group discussions. Each group has a moderator who will divide the time equally and invite each person to share. Questions are encouraged during the sharing part of the meeting. When you share, please be sure that your environment is quiet and free of distractions. Breakout room discussions end at 12:54, followed by day counts, announcements, and the Lord's Prayer. And I have asked Suzanne to read the 12 steps for us today.
Hi, everybody. My name is Suzanne, and I am an alcoholic. These are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Suzanne. Appreciate that. Today, we will hear a talk on step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And today, give a warm welcome to Polly P. from Jacksonville, Florida. Start your timer, Polly, and unmute, honey. Can you unmute? Unmute.
Okay, great. All right. Thank you. Thank you. My name is Polly Pistol, and I'm an alcoholic. And by God's grace, in a program called Alcoholics Anonymous, I haven't had a drink since April the 11th of 1977. And for that, I am eternally grateful. I have a home group, and that's the West Gannett Group in Jacksonville, Florida. I have a sponsor. My sponsor has a sponsor, and I sponsor. And I always like to thank the speaker dinner. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Sherry was who invited me to speak. So Sherry, thank you so much. And I love it that Suzanne comes on. She comes on to most of the talks I do because she helps me get all situated with my computer. You guys don't see that, but she helps me with all that. So, because I am very computer challenged. I was married to a computer scientist, but I can't do anything with the computer. And I'm just delighted to see friends on here. I was with Gordon last night, and it's just, you know, or yesterday, it's just friends that we've made on Zoom. One of these days, maybe we can do it at the International in Vancouver, but we're going to all meet because some of us have become really close friends and we've never met in person. And it's just, this is amazing, but you know, it's AA. It's just the way AA is. And I love to see Lorraine down there because I'm on a lot of meetings with her. She goes to a lot of the same meetings that I go to. So this is so amazing. And I just thank you so much for inviting me, Sherry, to be able to be a part of this. It's really a blessing to me and to my sobriety. And those of you who do not know, I'm going to just throw this out first before I get started on my talk. If anybody was ever saved by Zoom, it was me. And because I love Alcoholics Anonymous so much. And just about the time we started Zoom was when my husband became so ill that we couldn't do that much. And so because of Zoom, I got to do a lot of meetings, whether otherwise I probably wouldn't have got to do that. So not only was Zoom convenient and here during the pandemic, it was here for somebody like me who wouldn't have been able to get to meetings and we weren't doing this. So I just can't even begin to say how grateful that I am. And on March 20th, I was widowed. After caring for my husband for a lot of years, I was widowed. So what's happening with me, and sometimes I just say this, and especially since I'm doing steps, is that sometimes I don't know what to do with myself. I don't know who I am. I'm, you know, I used to be, you know, Dave's wife. And now I'm not Dave's wife. I'm Dave's widow. What's that? You know, it's just, you know, we change in life. And what happens is that Alcoholics Anonymous gives us the tools to step up for whatever changes come to pass. And I've had blessings beyond blessings. And Dave and I got to do so much together in Alcoholics Anonymous. We were married for 42 years, and we were active in Alcoholics Anonymous. And all the workshops and stuff like that that I do, I always, when Dave and I would do traditions and relationships, and all the stuff we did together, I will promise you, I was just the mouth. Dave wrote everything that was written, he wrote. And so it was just me being able to share what he had wrote, and we be together. And we had an amazing, I say we had an amazing ride. and Alcoholics Anonymous. And what happens is I'm so grateful, because you don't know how you're going to feel when that big a change happens in your life. But you know, there's been a lot of sadness and there's been a lot of grief. But I tell you what did not leave me was my passion for Alcoholics Anonymous. I love this program so much. And I believe that I'm everything I have, I owe to this program. And when I was 6.5 years sober, my youngest son came to Alcoholics Anonymous. And so my youngest son and I have been walking this walk together for 38 years. And then 5 years ago, I got the shock of my life because my oldest son came to AA and I didn't even know he was an alcoholic. That's how good he was at hiding his alcoholism. And I would go to, I lived in California we've been gone from there, I think, probably about a little over 20 years, 23 years, I think. I can't remember exactly. So I haven't lived in the same town and state with him for 23 years. So it was hidden very well. But I tell you, I am something else today. It's something else today that we got to do all this together. And my husband passed. I got to have my whole family and my sons and myself being my family. We were in Alcoholics Anonymous and we were able to celebrate Dave's life. And even though we celebrated in our church, because we also do that, so I'm very grateful for that as well. But any of you, if there's anybody who's new or nearly new on this Zoom, let me just tell you, it is going to be the ride of your life. And there's probably nothing more exciting than step two. Because what happens is I came to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I believed in God. I believed in God. I believed in God ever since I was a little girl. I believed in God. That part was always there. But I didn't believe in God like I believe in God today. It was nothing that's the same. And what I've done as a result of that is that I have the relationship I have today with God because of the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And when I came to step two, came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore us to sanity. And believe me, I was crazy. I was absolutely crazy. And I mean certifiedly so crazy. And what happened for me is when I started this journey, I did not even know another alcoholic. I didn't know anybody that was alcoholic. I was living in Hearst, Texas. I was a real estate agent. I had two boys in high school, and I had a husband who was very, very ill. He was 100% disabled. He was retired at 100% disability from the United States Air Force. He was very ill. And because of my drinking, I couldn't work. What I would do is do things like hide in an empty house, like we have builders would build houses, and I would hide liquor in the cabinet and go into these empty houses and drink. Because my husband was getting very noticeable of my drinking. And I was doing all I could to not drink at home. And so my drinking was totally out of control. I had a couple of car wrecks, nothing very serious, but a couple of car wrecks. And of course, I was drinking. I ended up going to detox twice. The first time, my husband said to me, Holly, there's a treatment center and it's not far from our house. And I thought it wasn't a treatment center. It was a detox, but we didn't know the difference. And so I went into this detox and I got there very kind of like six-ish at night. And they checked me in, gave me some marvelous medication. I didn't come to till sometime the next day. And what happened is that they told me to go into the day room with the rest of the patients. And I went into the day room and I looked around, but the arrogance, I had no idea this was arrogance. I looked around with such arrogance and thought to myself, I'm not like these people. This is not, I'm not these people. They looked like alcoholics. And I didn't, you know, I couldn't see myself as an alcoholic. I just couldn't see. I didn't really know another alcoholic, but I knew the term. I'd seen Days of Wine and Roses and I'll Cry Tomorrow. And I was for sure I wasn't like them. But what happened was that my husband had been ill for quite some time. So I couldn't take care of him really. My sons were taking care of him. And I was in this treatment center. And he'd been sick for quite a while. He was retired from the military. As I said, he was 100% disabled. And I looked around after a few days of detox. And I'm telling you, all of a sudden, my libido started to come alive. And all these guys in detox started to look good to me. And what happened was, as I left that detox and they told us to go to meetings, but I hooked up with a guy in detox. And so what we ended up doing is, you know, running around and doing stuff. And pretty soon, the next thing I know, I'm drunk and I'm not going to meetings. And this guy is a mess. He is a total mess. He's been around AA forever and relapsed 100 times. And it was just, you know, of course we can choose them. We just, you know, choose just the right people to mess us up. And I certainly had done that, messed him up as well. And what happened was that my husband found me and put me back in that detox. And I went back into that detox and I was going to be a model patient, do everything I was supposed to do in that detox, because I can tell you right now, sober life was not for me. I can't stay sober. I'm not like these people. I just felt like I've never been in such a hopeless place. Thank you, God of my understanding, to have been so hopeless. I was so hopeless that I felt like there was no hope for me. And when that detox was over, I left that detox and I got in my car and I got a bottle of scotch and I got a bottle of Valium. And I can assure you that back when I was doing this, you know, a long time ago, 46 years ago, when I was doing this, getting a bottle of Valium was no problem. It was, you could go, I just got it from my doctor. I'm really having a lot of anxiety. And, you know, the script was written out. No problem whatsoever. And I got that bottle of Valium and I checked into a motel. And I had no intentions of ever waking up again. But I believe with all my heart, at the God of my understanding, I had a really good friend. And my friend said to me, what happened to her was that she said something came over her. And I think that something was the God of my understanding. It was the God who spoke to her. And she knew she had to find me. She didn't know why, she said, but she just knew she had to find me. And she drove around until she found my car parked outside a motel. And I hadn't shut the door all the way. It had just closed and hadn't latched. And she pushed that door open and found me laying there. And she called 911. And I was pronounced dead on arrival when I arrived at the hospital in Bedford, Texas. And by God's grace, I was resuscitated. And if you try to take your own life, you are going to get the attention of the authorities. And what happened for me is I ended up having to put on a 72-hour hold, which was enough time for my husband to obtain a court order from a Fort Worth judge that I was a detriment to myself and others. And because on April the 8th, I had tried to commit suicide, he was able to get a court order from a Fort Worth judge that committed me to treatment. And I entered that treatment center on April the 11th of 1977. And in that treatment center, they started giving us the steps. And what has happened is that step two came to believe in a power. And all I have to do is any time that I'm in doubt, that any time I get that feeling that, you know, sometimes I can feel that separation from the God of my understanding. But when I feel that separation, I just sit and I think about how I got here, how I got to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And there's no way I could have got here without the hand of God. It was there touching the people in my life that gave me the opportunity to come to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and be here and be able to get this program. And what happened is I didn't do AA just right. When I first got sober, I was doing a lot of things right, and I was doing a lot of things that are really not the things we ought to be doing, like having a lot of affairs and Alcoholics Anonymous. But what happened was, in that whole process, is I had a friend, and his name was David Pistol, and I did not have an affair with Dave. And Dave came to me when I was 3.5 years sober, and he was 4.5 years sober, and he said, "I'm in love with you, but I don't want to have an affair with you. I want to marry you." And I began the process of divorce. We began that process, but we left Texas first. And I always say we left Texas married, but not to each other. And all of that has taken place. And my husband and I, that my first husband, my children's father, all of that, thanks to Alcoholics Anonymous, was repaired. He ended up marrying shortly after me. He got married again. I mean, God takes care of it. I can't think of a more messed up situation when I was a newcomer in AA, but God's hand was there and got it all sorted out. And today I sit here with 46 years of sobriety. And next month I'll be 83 years old. I have had a life beyond my greatest expectation, and I am so grateful that I have been able to stay sober. I have been able to be a part of this program. I've been able to work steps. I've had fabulous sponsors. I've had 3 sponsors. I had Frank in Texas when I first got sober. He was in charge of the detox, and he was my first sponsor. And then I had a beautiful woman. I had heard her talk in Austin, Texas, when I was a year sober. And I said, if I'm ever anywhere where she is, I'm going to ask her to sponsor me. And Dave got transferred to Southern California, and I looked her up. She lived in Lakewood, California. I looked her up. She went to the Big Book Group in Bellflower, California, and I asked her to sponsor me. And she was my sponsor for 33 years until she died. And today I have the fabulous Rena Kay. I have always been sponsored. I have always gone to meetings. I love this program with all my heart. And I thank you for letting me talk today. God bless.
Thank you.